Part two in the Power series. I'm very excited about this. And last week, I just would want to start with encouraging you, if you weren't here last week, to play catch up, you can go to fwcpo.org and you can listen to last week's message, you know, about the importance that one person can make. And it's a very, very powerful thing. And last week we also started to talk about expose the lack of power that the devil has, the lack of power that the devil has over a believer. Okay? The lack of power. And so simply said, you know, we went over scriptures, John 10:10, the thief comes, but to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, but I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly, right? John 8:44 talks about, it gives characteristics of the devil, of the enemy. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. 1 Peter 5:8, I'm kind of bringing you to that point of where we're talking about this morning, about the lack of power that the enemy has over a believer. 1 Peter 5:8, the devil walks around like, look at your neighbor and say, like. The devil walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. All right? Who he may devour. Remember that old school game, Mother May I, right? And the only way that you can get any access or gain any ground is by asking for permission. So therefore, it's the same thought pattern. The devil walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We talked about Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 through 15. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. This is all we built this thought pattern based upon the word of God that that devil has zero authority over the believer. All right. And God has destroyed the enemy and stripped him of his rights, stripped him of his power over the believer's life. His powers have been shut down. All right. He's using weapons that are harmless against us. The power and authority God has given, he has given to you and to me in the name of Jesus. So understand that. Power and authority he has given to you and I as children, his children, as a believer. All right? So before we start talking about the authority, right, let's talk first a little bit about some things that can have power over us. A little bit different way this morning. We talked about the enemy, but what's some things that can have power over us that the devil uses? Money. Food. Someone said food. Wow. Food. I was expecting food. Lying. Anxiety. Fear. Thoughts. I was like, wow, I was really good. That's great. People were just like, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, I thought I might have to turn the pump over, you know. But jealousy, drugs, alcohol, lust, pornography, stealing, manipulating, anger. Ooh, here's one. Because someone said, oh, I don't partake in the porn, you know, or, you know, I don't partake in the alcohol. Maybe gossip. Oh, I got another one. Procrastination. We talked about that earlier. Procrastination. I wrote that down. That wasn't my notes. So when I was talking about that, I was like, oh, I'll write that down. Procrastination. That's all something where, oh, the devil can use, the enemy can use that against us. Can. Now, before, you know, how many, I'm an 80s kid. Anybody else an 80s kid, right? Nobody else? All right. Well, I grew up in the 80s. Okay. I grew up in the 80s. All right. When it comes to 80s music, I can most likely rival anybody in trivia. I may not be the best, but I will rank in the top five. You know, when it comes to 80s music, you know, 80s buff, 80s music, you know, I grew up in the 80s and this is where my wife's going to go, boy, I grew up watching in the 80s, old school WWF, World Wrestling Federation, okay? Okay, now listen, it's like, oh my gosh, but listen, just hear me out, right? And so I grew up, you know, watching that. I mean, that was when it was starting to become popular, right? And I remember, you see Mike in the back, right? Mikey Sherman. And right, we used to all get together. You see Charles over there. We all used to get together and watch wrestling, right? Wrestling in the 90s, right? Cause it started in the 80s, right? And then it got really super big in the mid 90s. So we all had our different guys. Mike's was DDP. There he goes. He got the thing right there. DDP, Diamond Dallas Page. Right? And what was his finishing move? You remember? The Diamond Cutter. The Diamond Cutter, right? So that was Mike's guy, right? When we'd watch, he would be rooting for his guy, right? I try to remember what Shoes was. I want to say it was Hogan. Was it Hogan? Goldberg. Oh, my gosh. Okay, I thought it was Hulk Hogan. I couldn't remember, right? And so everyone remembers Hulk Hogan, right? We remember the good Hulk Hogan, not the recent Hulk Hogan. Say your prayers, eat your vitamins, you know, all that kind of stuff, right? It's Goldberg, that's right. Okay. Oh, man. All right, so Hulk Hogan, and then my brothers, all of us had different guys. It was interesting. He had, as some of you may know, Ric Flair, right? Right? You can see him, woo, right? And so Ric Flair, yes, he had lots of hair. The 80s, that was probably in the 70s that was taken. But, and then my guy was always different. It was very different. My guy was Macho Man Randy Savage, right? Ooh, yeah, right? So he was the Slim Jim guy for everyone else that didn't, you know. And this was like, you guys remember, like, snap into it, you know. Now, this is the South, so they didn't call it wrestling. Up north, they call it wrestling. Down in the South, they call it wrestling, right? And so... wrestling. And so I remember there was this announcer. His name was Gorilla Monsoon. And Gorilla Monsoon, when he used to announce a match, and he had two Goliaths in the middle of the ring, like WrestleMania 3, Andre the Giant versus Hulk Hogan, right? And what he used to say this phrase all the time when he had two titans in the middle of the ring. He used to say, and this is the point of where I'm going, is he used to say when two titans used to be in the middle, it's the irresistible force versus the immovable object. Right? And he used to say that when two people get together. The irresistible force versus the immovable object. And I say it's the same thing when it comes to that thing that can have power over our lives. And here's why I say that. Irresistible force versus the immovable object. Because something has to give. Something has to give. All the ways, all the things that have been mentioned. Lying, jealousy, the anger, the procrastination, all that stuff. Only has power over us one way. And we have to understand that the only way those things have power over us if we allow it to. We have to surrender. Or if I can use wrestling, you have to tap out. Now see, growing up wrestling with my brother or, you know, 19 years in youth pastor, I can stand here and honestly say that I've never been put down for a three count and I've never tapped out. One time I thought someone was trying to make me tap out and almost broke my finger one time. And I said, nope, I'm not giving up. I'm not going to tap out. I'm not saying no. I think a lot of us need to have that same mentality when it comes to our walk with God. When it comes to our everyday walk with God. Let me just say that, every day. Because I think overall we look and we say, yes, I'm a child of God. Yes, I want to walk in His fullness. But when it comes down to the everyday part, we kind of get lost because there's so much of every day that comes, you know. And so therefore, it's like we have to make the decision to not allow those things to overpower us. We make that decision to say, I have the authority, I have the power to stand strong to overpower it, whatever it may be, or whatever those things may be. Like I said last week, there's only one way the devil, the world, can have any power over you and I as believers, is only if we let him. Let me see. Where's Jude? Come here, Jude. Can I get you to come up here? Come on, give it up for Jude. Now, Jude, come here. You have a New York Giants shirt on. That's pretty good. I'm a Buffalo Bills fan. Oh, there's some Giants fans right there. There's some folks from Syracuse right there. Hi, wave to them. Say hi. So they're first timers. Nice to meet you. Anyway, so my point in this is this. Jude, if you and I, let's say we're going to go into an arm wrestling match. How many think that Jude would win? Okay. You got some fans. Look at it. You got fans. Now, because of size is only saying size, I'm going into this thinking, I got this. Let's just say this. The real way Jude can make sure that he's going to win is if he gets in my head. He does something like licks his hand. We're going, he sneezes on me, and I'm like, all of a sudden, my head's going, ill, 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 oh my gosh, you know? And all of a sudden, and he just starts going, right? It's only if he gets in my head that we would say that, I'm not saying, look, he's strong, look at, he's got that wave going, he's got it going on, right? His 21 matches of shoes, I mean, you got it, you're on fleek, oh, seriously, all right? So if you don't know what on fleek means, Google it. All right, so, but the thought pattern is because of size, it could be deceiving. And the for sure way is if he got in my head. And I say that is exactly how the devil overpowers the believer. But I would say this, right? Jude's a good-looking guy. But the devil's like this big compared to the child of God who towers over, because the Bible says that the enemy is what? Under our feet. Come on, give it up for Jude. Thank you, Jude. How do we let the devil even get that far in our lives, in our minds, in our lives? How we get him that, to let him to get that far in our head? When we allow the enemy, the devil, to get in our head, it becomes very difficult at that point. It does. When the enemy or the world or someone throws thoughts into your head that don't need to be there, that are not of God, and you start entertaining those thoughts, you give that thought ground in your mind, you're giving the devil place. And that will drain your power dry. Because Ephesians 4:27 says, the King James Version says, neither give place to the devil. The International Standard Version says, and do not give the devil an opportunity to work. The battlefield is in the mind. Pastor Kathy already got up there. I was just standing in the back. And I was watching. I like to look and observe and, you know, people worshiping and everything else. And she was talking about, and in your mind, I'm like, I looked at Byron. I was like, she's preaching my message. Oh, my gosh. Right? And then Pastor Brian was up here. And he started talking about the power of God and the authority. I'm like, oh, he's preaching part of my message. And I go, we can all just go home because everyone's preaching my junk. And so anyways, the battlefield is in the mind. And if this is a challenge, because we're gonna continue to talk a little bit about it, but it's really hard to get into and really address and deal with by just a few minutes. Joyce Myers has a book that I would encourage you to read, The Battlefield, the Mind. Yeah. You know it. Okay. So, I encourage you to get that. Amazon it, get it, and start reading it. Start marinating on it. Start chewing it up. Because Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." How in the world do we prepare for that? Here's our example. We talked about it over and over again. Jesus was in the wilderness. Jesus was in the wilderness. He was hungry. He was thirsty. And the enemy came and tempted him. Now, allow me to say, just because a thought comes across your head, comes across your mind, that's not automatically sin. Hear this. Because when he was hungry, and the enemy said, "Hey, why don't you just tap that bread and turn it into stone?" They turned the bread into stone. It's because that crossed his mind didn't mean that Jesus was sinning. That's what Jesus did with that. See, he immediately pushed it out. He immediately counteracted the thought with the Word of God. See, that right there is huge to understand. Jesus received a thought that didn't line up with heavenly thinking. He pushed it out, and he did not marinate on it. And that's how thoughts become sin. When we allow it to marinate, when we think about it, we allow it to take root in our thoughts. Then in our hearts, it turns into action, into words. Jesus pushed out the bad thoughts out of his head. Now, how many of you remember George H. Bush? Not George W. Bush, George H. Bush. He was George W. Bush's father. And then you guys remember Saddam Hussein, right? President Bush, George H. Bush, was president from 1989 to 1993. And allow me to give you a visual of what I'm talking about. About not letting it take root, of how we're supposed to combat this mentality when the enemy throws something in our heads, and how important it is to counteract it. Do you guys remember? Yes, Saddam Hussein, right? There's a time where he was sending up, you remember Scud missiles, and he was sending up Scud missiles. Now Scud missile, all it did was it didn't have anything. Other than whatever it hit, it was just going to do damage to whatever it hit. Was it any chemical or was it anything this or that? So it was just to make a mess. And President Bush developed what they call the Patriot missile. Some of you might remember this. When they would see that Scud missile shot up on the radar, they would send up a Patriot missile. Smaller missile that would intercept the Scud missile in the air and disintegrate it in the air where it would not be allowed to land on U.S. soil and do damage. You got the picture? It's the same exact way in our minds. The enemy throws up a Scud thought, and we should send up a word Patriot missile. We counteract it. Counteract that thought with the Word of God. We don't allow it to land and do damage. Because when we marinate on it, it's landing. It does damage. It takes root. But we combat. That's why it wasn't when Jesus did this in the wilderness. You notice it was not the same thing. He didn't like say, you know, you want to go back to that bread. Jesus, you know you're hungry. You know you want to go back to that bread. Second time. No. He took him to three separate areas. He challenged him in three separate areas, looking for a crack. But Jesus knew not to give place to his thought life. That's what we need to do. So how do, you know, we do that? We have to know the Word of God. That's why staying, and Pastor Sam, I'm going to do the taser part, so be careful. If you weren't here last week, you missed it. Pastor Sam jumped off. But see, you guys remember the example and illustration last week of the light in darkness. But see, we're to be that light, but it's also we have authority that should cause the enemy to jump back. And so to keep that authority, to be ready at all times, people still jumping and I know I'm going to hit it. And this thing hurts. I should tase myself. Just see what it feels like. Got two little burn marks right there. So, but I wanted to see what it was like. So, and then my wife tased me. She tased me right there. So, but here's the thing. This is a lot of us. Now, see, this is a rechargeable one. It doesn't have batteries. See, we'll run like this for a long time until we're drained. And see, what we need to do is we need to connect to the source, right, and plug in every day. And I would say this, for some of us, it's maybe a couple times a day, a few times a day. So we what? That we can stay charged up. We can stay ready to go. That at all times, we are full of the power and we understand and know our authority. That when you wake up in the morning, the devil says, oh man, he's up. Oh man, she's up. Because look at this scripture. I'm jumping ahead, but it's all right. James 4:7, and we'll get to it again here, but James 4:7, therefore submit yourselves unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. One translation says, he will fly from you. That's some scared stuff when you're flying away from somebody. Another translation says that he will run from you in terror. That is a child of God who knows their authority, understands their authority. Now, let me tell you, understanding their authority is really huge. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1 says, and when he had called unto them, his 12 disciples, he gave them power. Look at you and say, power. Power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Jesus gave you the power. He gave you the authority to do what he said. Let me show you what I believe the problem is today in the church. Not our church. Now, everyone knows Florida Power and Light, right? Florida Power and Light is responsible for making sure that the power gets to your house. Now, we're not talking during hurricane time. We're talking regular every day. So FPL has done its job. That's if you paid your light bill. The power is always available. So when you walk into a dark room, you don't have to pick up the phone and call FPL and say, can you please turn the lights on in the kitchen? The power is already there. It's just our job. The supply of power is there. It's our job to just go over and flip the switch. The power is there. See, God supplied all the power, but we are not flipping the switch. Rather than us flipping the switch, we keep talking to God about the problem instead of talking to the problem about our God. Authority. Is you taking the problem, talking to the problem about God, that God has already made you available, already made that power and authority available. All we have to do is flip your switch. Let's flip the switch. Look at your neighbor and say, flip the switch. We've got to understand that there are already things that God's already told you and I. And you know what? I'll be honest. We're wasting our time by praying to God about what he already gave us the authority to do. Oh, God, please take this pain away from me. No. You don't say, God, please take the pain. He's already given the authority to us to tell the pain to leave. So we look, we say to the pain, pain, go in Jesus' name. It's finances. I speak to you in the name of Jesus. We need to be speaking life, understanding that praying, God, please take this pain away, is that will always be an unanswered prayer. God, please heal me from this will be an unanswered prayer, because God had already given us the authority and all we have to do is flip the switch. Psalms, and here's why. Here's why it's unanswered prayer. Because God is bound to his word. God's not going to tell you something and then turn around and do something different. He is bound to his word. He is a God of his word. So Psalms 89 specifically says that every word he speaks is a covenant. God will not turn away from the covenant that he has made with you and I. He is bound to his word. So when he says that you and I have authority, he can't, nor will he take it back and step in and do it. See, that's where the, sometimes church people, being honest, I say religious people, because there are not any religious people in here. They're just people with a relationship with God here. So that's where religious people get, don't like that, because they don't like that the responsibility falls on us. It falls on us why things are the way they are. Luke 10:19, I've given you authority to trample over serpents and scorpions and over on all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. He gave you and I the authority. We need to flip the switch. James 4:7, as I said, submit. Therefore, submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. See that word resist. Resist the devil. If we don't resist, then he won't leave. Resist means to fight against, to withstand. Fight against what the devil is trying to con you into believing. It's all up here. He's trying to get you out, talk you out of your authority. You look at it, I mean, and I won't have time to read it, but they can allude to it on the screen. But, you know, Peter and John were at the gate, beautiful. And what did he end up, what did they, you know, there was a man that was lame there, and he was there every single day. And what did he said, do you have any money, to Peter and John? Do you have any money? And they said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have. Revelation of the authority that God had given him. Such as I have, give to you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Notice he did not pray. Dear Jesus, we come before you today and ask you to heal our brother. No. He spoke to the situation with authority. He never asked to pray the prayer like, you know, oh God. No. Let's take the drama out. And I start stepping in to the authority. And so you see, such as I have, he had the authority and then he released it. He flipped the switch. He released it by his words and flipped the switch. And I'll end with this because it's 10:10. This past Wednesday night, and this is, and hear me all out when I say this, this past Wednesday night, we had our men's group, which is awesome. If you were here, thank you for coming. The men's small group in Street 5. And then the ladies were meeting here. Propel, we're meeting here. And so I came over here after the small groups were over. And some of you know who Clarice DeAngelis is, right? There's a picture of her if you don't know, because I know we have two different services. Clarice walks up to me immediately and says, Pastor John, I have pain, severe pain in my back. Can you please pray for me? I said, absolutely. We stepped right over near the back of the sound booth right there. Prayed for her. Took authority over the pain. Said, pain, go in Jesus' name. Back, you have to line up and function in a way. It's just the same way we would pray. If we're taking authority over sickness or disease or pain, here, nothing different. Right? we walked away. I walked away and said, "How you feel?" She says, "It still hurts." Like, well, it's gonna change. Now let me stop right there and remind you of the story of Mark 11:13-14, when Jesus walked by and he saw the fig tree. And if you know anything about fig trees, when you see the leaves of a fig tree, it's supposed to have figs. And when Jesus went to go get figs from the fig tree that had leaves on it and saw that it wasn't producing fruit, he cursed it right then and there. Then he went on his way. Then he goes, he was in the temple, and that was the whole money-changing thing and everything else. And then the Bible talks about how they were walking by the next day, the next morning, about 24 hours later, and the disciples saw that the fig tree had dried up and died. I say that, remind you that, because when Clarice walked away, it did not look like anything had changed. When Jesus said to the fig tree, it didn't look like, he cursed it and dried up and died. You're not going to bear any more fruit anymore. It didn't look like anything changed. And that's when the devil tries to go in and mess with your head. Oh, you don't have any authority. That don't work with you. Oh, you're powerless. So just like Jesus the next day saw that the disciples saw the fig tree dried up by its root. I walked into the office on Friday morning, and there's Clarice smiling, twisting, shouting, bending over. And here's the deal. He said, praise God, she was totally healed. Here's the thing. You may say, you're a pastor. You're supposed to be doing that. No, it's not because I'm a pastor. It's because I'm a child of God. That's the way everybody in the room, every single child of God, anyone who's asked Jesus in their heart as their personal Lord and Savior, that's the life we're supposed to be living every day. It's up to us to flip the switch. It's up to us to know what the Word of God says. It's up to us to spend time, stay connected with God, hook up, stay connected with God every day. And guess what? The authority and the power, you get to walk in. What is stopping you from flipping the switch? What is stopping you?